SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of a Tuesday right here on The Morning After on Sports Grid. Sirius XM, channel 159, the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM and all across the Sports Grid network. I am Ben Stevens. That's my name. A Tuesday here on The Morning After generally means that Kevin Walsh is here as well, which makes The Morning After the early after for the first 2 hours of TMA. Old K-Dubs joins us right now. And in this second hour, on a Tuesday night full of so much good basketball, both professionally and college hoops as well, we will go through that thoroughly here in this second hour. We start in the NBA. Then we go to college hoops. An update on the AP poll, a new number one team in the land, and what that means for value in the national championship market. And then the Tuesday slate in CBB. We finish by playing odds makers ourselves. Kevin Walsh and I will look at the future of the NFL from a quarterback perspective. All of that with some fun mixed in to make you a more informed and better sports better on this Tuesday here on The Morning After. Kevin, let's begin in the association tonight. A bunch of good games. One in Philadelphia between the Pelicans and the 76ers. A big spread in favor of Philly, the home team tonight. But this game, as you peel back the layers, means a lot more because Joel Embiid right now is on an absolute tear. Look at his last three games, 38-12, 40-13, 50 points in 12 boards. He has scored at least 30 points in 13 of the last 14 for the Sixers. Again, a big home favorite tonight, nearing double digits against the Pelicans. But also, Kevin, there are a couple other storylines as we are past the midway point of this NBA season pertaining to Philadelphia.
And that's really what I want to talk about. This game, great. In the short term, matters. In the long term, completely meaningless. The report comes out from The Athletic, great piece of reporting, Sham Sharani and Sam Amick, that the Philadelphia 76ers are eyeing James Harden and contemplating holding Ben Simmons past the deadline in order to bring James Harden to Philadelphia. This is one of those things you hear and you go, whoa, man. Maybe it does make sense. Harden and Daryl Morey's connection is obvious. Harden not signing an extension with the Nets is interesting. And there were some rumors a week and a half ago that said maybe Harden would consider his other options this offseason. Has a player option this year, can be a free agent if he so chooses to be. The thing is, if he does become a free agent, he's not going to Philadelphia. It is basically impossible with the salary cap space. In the NFL, the salary is fake. In the NBA, not so much. So if it's going to get done, be a sign and trade. The Nets trading Harden to Philly? Yeah, I don't see that. You can argue that Ben Simmons is maybe a better fit for the Nets. There's some odd truth to that. Try and sell that to Kevin Durant. I don't know if that's going to land. Try and sell that to Kyrie Irving. Try and sell anything to Kyrie Irving. Even a vaccine. That doesn't work. I don't know if he'll take Ben Simmons on the Brooklyn Nets. So if you're the 76ers, as you watch Joel Embiid on a dominant run, as Ben has referenced here, you're going to let that pass you by for the slight and probably unlikely chance that the Nets will send you James Harden. I think it's a great move by Morey. Ben, I'm calling the bluff. I still think Ben Simmons is moved.
Okay, but we'll get into that in just a second. First, a welcome to our Sports Grid radio audience here, Sirius XM, channel 159, our terrestrial radio affiliates as well. It's Ben Stevens and Kevin Walsh on a Tuesday on The Morning After, or if you're a friend of the program, the early after. So, Kev, you said Ben Simmons is on the move. If it's not Brooklyn, then where do you think the most likely destination is for Simmons leaving Philadelphia?
Excellent, excellent question. So that reporting brought up some really interesting things beyond the big, oh my goodness, Harden plus Embiid. The Sixers called Sacramento and said, we want Tyrese Haliburton and a bunch of first-round picks. They called Atlanta. They said, we want John Collins and a bunch of first-round picks. That means that they're willing to accept a deal. And here's why those offers are important, Ben. Why would they want multiple first-round picks? None of those can help them this year. But if James Harden is going to become available, and if James Harden, in NBA star fashion, is going to force his way to Philly, then multiple first-round picks might just be enough anyway, and not Ben Simmons. So I think you're going to see them get a deal done. Sacramento and Atlanta seem to be clubhouse leaders. If you want me to call it right now, I'm going to go Atlanta. Please. Here's why. More reason to get it done. Playing better, great fit. Trae Young plus Ben Simmons, my heart is full. And that is a team that understands time is precious. They were in the conference finals last year. They don't want to squander that. Daryl can say he'll squander and Embiid season all he wants. They have no interest in doing that. In Atlanta, I think Collins plus a bunch of picks, and we see Ben Simmons and Trae Young in ATL. The question becomes, way down the road, not going to answer it today. Who would you rather be betting to win the East after that deal? I don't know if Philly will like those answers.
Ooh, the forecast there from Kevin Walsh. Ben Simmons possibly in Hotlanta. You can't waste Joel Embiid right now. Now the third shortest odds to win the MVP at plus 400. We go to college basketball next here on The Morning After.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It brings me no joy to say that football is winding down. Only two more weekends of real football, conference championship action, the Super Bowl 2 weeks following. But that means that college basketball becomes even more front and center. And if you don't know by now, you need to know about the Auburn Tigers. We'll tell you why right here on The Morning After on Sports Grid. Sirius XM, Channel 159, and all across the Sports Grid Network, alongside Kevin Walsh. I am Ben Stevens. A new number one team in the country, the Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever in men's basketball program history, Kevin, the number one team in the land in the newest AP poll released yesterday in that AP top 25. Auburn, number one. Gonzaga, number two. Arizona, number three. Baylor, four. And Kansas, five, who held on just barely last night in double OT, at home, at the Fog, against Texas Tech. So that's how the AP top 10 looks. But let's look at how the conference championship market correlates to the AP poll. We do that now and how it's all changed in market movers. So I believe this is the AP poll in the graphic that we have up right now. That would be what we just detailed, the top five with Auburn, Gonzaga, Arizona, Baylor, Kansas, Purdue at number six, UCLA at seven, Houston number eight, Duke number nine, the only ACC team in the AP top 25, and then Michigan State, Kevin, rounding out the top 10. As we look at how the market has moved for our national championship odds, if we do have that graphic available, first we'll get Kevin's thoughts on this new AP poll. Kev, your takeaway from seeing Auburn the first time ever in program history at number one in the country.
That is the takeaway. That is the story. No reason to try and, you know, go off the beaten path here. It's the fact that they are the number one team. And the reality is, I know last week they had more first-place votes than Gonzaga, but ultimately weren't able to crack up to number one. But to do that while Gonzaga is still just, you know, winning their WCC games, no problem, that's impressive. It shows that Auburn is gaining that recognition that they deserve, Ben. And look, 18-1 in a strong SEC, good wins already against good SEC teams, the lone loss, UConn, overtime, Nothing to be disappointed in overall. This is an Auburn Tigers team that looks like they have the look. And they check, I know, a lot of boxes for me because you've got a guy you know in Bruce Pearl. You've got Kessler, who's been obviously unbelievable, strong guard play. But when I say check the boxers for me as well, a one-and-done sensation in Jamari Smith that is just impossible to take your eyes off of out there. Like, he's taking jump shots. I'm like, that's a terrible – oop, made it again. Like, just there – it's a very, very good basketball team who deserves to be ranked number one in the country.
Absolutely so. The best record in the country, the Auburn Tigers right now at 18-1, they've won 15 straight basketball games. We'll look at Auburn as it pertains to the national championship market because, of course, polls are an indication of what has already happened. The market itself is a predictive model. So we are going to compare right now, if we have that market movers graphic, the top seven in college basketball and the top seven best odds to win the national title and cut down the nets in early April. We are going to compare these numbers of the top seven now from back on December 6th, about 3 weeks in to this college basketball season. And here's what the market looked like, Kevin, back in early December. Gonzaga, a very short favorite at plus 440. Baylor at that time, 15-1. Now the Baylor Bears, the second best odds. Duke, Purdue, short odds there as well. Here's the thing about this market movers graphic. I have screenshotted many odds through my times here on the morning after. I had the top 20 or so teams back on December 6th to win the national championship. That's why you see Auburn there greater than plus 4,000, greater than 40-1, because that was the final line that I had, and the Auburn Tigers had not cracked the top 20 or 22 or so when I screenshotted these odds to win the national championship back on December 6th. Kentucky 22-1, Kansas 15-1 then. Now the odds today. Gonzaga still the favorites, but some market movement against them, plus 650. Baylor, the market has moved $5 in their favor, tied right now for the second best price with Duke at 10-1, Purdue 11-1, Gonzaga, Purdue, and Duke, all market movement against them. And then there's Bruce Pearl's team, the Auburn Tigers at 13-1, the fifth best odds right now, alongside Kentucky to win the national championship. And then Kansas rounds out our top seven here at 14-1. Kevin Walsh, you may begin wherever you see fit.
So I actually think one thing that people will probably see and maybe be a little bit confused by is the team that Auburn just beat having the same price with them, and that's the Kentucky Wildcats. But we've talked about Auburn. We know they're very good, and they deserve to be moved up. Kentucky, though, for me, has been the most impressive team when they lose. Does that line up? I hope that lands for what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
They lost at Notre Dame by 4. Tricky ACC team. We'll just remove that for a second, okay? Duke, neutral site, first game of the year, at LSU and at Auburn. You want to win those games, okay? But they had a second-half lead against Duke opening night of the season. At LSU has been basically impossible. They had a second-half lead, a lead late in that game. Auburn, maybe the best team in the country, a second-half lead as well. Kentucky has shown that ability to play with anybody in the country. It's very difficult, Ben, especially at the college game when you do the, hey, if this would have happened, then maybe this would have happened. Ty Washington looked pretty good to start that game, left early against Auburn. That could have very well made the difference there from Kentucky winning that game and Kentucky losing that game. We talk about where these odds are. What happens if Kentucky does win that game? I'll tell you right now, Auburn's not won. Auburn doesn't have the same odds as Kentucky to win the national championship. So that is a thing where we talk about, even in a loss, seeing something. The other SEC team, right, that people have talked about all season long, Alabama, this ability to beat anybody but also lose to anybody that the Crimson Tide have, right? That's not Kentucky. Kentucky's not live to lose to every single team in the country, right? Bama's built to lose to 15 seeds. Kentucky, though, has that ability from what we've seen from them, Ben, that they can beat anyone. And I'll tell you, putting it to the test right again this weekend against Kansas. Can't wait to see how that plays out.
Maybe putting it to the test tonight at home at Rupp Arena against Mississippi State, a team that has been good in SEC play. But I think when you compare Auburn and Kentucky, the rightful way to go is to the SEC marketplace to win that regular season title. The board not up right now, but as of yesterday, entering a Monday night of action, Auburn was a heavy odds-on favorite to win the SEC at minus 250. Kentucky was plus 700. Obviously, winning the SEC and winning the national championship within the bracket of March Madness, two very different goals to accomplish. But both right now, Auburn and Kentucky at 13-1. Kansas, $1 behind them, at 14-1. All three of those teams tied for the fifth best odds to reach the Final Four on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now at plus 270. There is a team there that you will not see on our Market Movers board because right now, they have the eighth best odds in the country to win the national championship. That would be Arizona, only a dollar behind Kansas at 15-1. The Wildcats are the number three team in the country. Like Auburn, only one loss for Arizona this year. And Arizona in a huge game tonight out in Westwood, California, against UCLA. A top 10 tilt that we will preview on the other side of the break. In the zone for a huge Tuesday night in college basketball. Kevin Walsh and Ben Stevens, stay here with us on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A huge Tuesday night in college basketball all across the country, and we preview all of that here right now on The Morning After on Sports Grid. Sirius XM, Channel 159. It's Ben Stevens and Kevin Walsh here with you to get you set for a huge Tuesday night in college basketball. There's only one place we could go to do that. It's Kevin's favorite place. That would be The Zone.
All right.
You can't beat The Zone. Yeah. Look at that.
That's great.
Listen, you guys might not know this about old K-Dubs here on the Spiz Grizz, but a lot of the mastermind behind the scenes in terms of production elements, not the actual creative development. That's our guy, EJ Vitez, who is fantastic. But Kevin Walsh kind of pulls the strings a little bit like a puppet master. The idea of The Zone was Kevin Walsh's. He's a pretty smart guy. So, Kev, thank you for that. Thank you to EJ for that wonderful animation. And thank you to the Pac-12 for a great top 10 matchup we have tonight at Pauley Pavilion, Westwood, California, there in Los Angeles. UCLA, the seventh-ranked team in the country, against Arizona, number three in all the land. And right now, it is Arizona as a slight road favorite, playing 2.5 points against the Bruins. The over-under, 152 in a hook. These odds as of last night. Kevin Walsh, a huge matchup in the Conference of Champions. What can we expect tonight between the Bruins and the Cats?
So this is, how do I say this? Okay. College basketball, college sports, like 101 betting, right? Like, when do you immediately sound the alarms? Home team, not ranked, as a favorite against a ranked team, it's for a reason. A lot of people close their eyes and they bet the unranked favorite, right? Now, this is not apples to apples, but the point of my bringing that up is it is very clear when you see a game like that, being able to then say that is a Florida line or a Vanderbilt line. Arizona laying points, despite being ranked higher, on the road, surprised me when I saw it. That is called an Arizona line. Again, the three is not that overwhelming to the seven when you factor in the fact that the Bruins have lost just twice this season and are at home. It is incredible, Ben. Imagine jumping in a time machine and telling someone before we played any basketball this year that when these teams ultimately met here in UCLA, that it would be the Wildcats favored in the basketball game. I have to wonder, how much does, if I'm not mistaken, the lack of a real crowd inside this UCLA building factor into the spread? We saw Oregon go to UCLA in overtime, sure, but still pull down a victory. How much is that factoring in to what we are seeing once again? I always bring up stuff like this to me. I personally will never see a line, say, man, that's an Arizona line. Give me Arizona. And that's the entirety of a cap. I don't like that. That's not for me. It's for some people. Fine. Not for me. But I will always respect it. I will always respect it. And I respect what that tells me. And it makes me have tremendous hesitation on doing anything then on this side here, and maybe pushes me more towards a total 151.5. I'm sure you'll have some trends on that. They certainly can line up there. Or if you're in the appropriate state, New York, let's figure it out now, right? Let's figure it out. That's some delicious college basketball player props, which are always fun, especially in a game like this where you've got marquee players littered throughout these rosters.
Oh, I mean, you've got Jaime Jaquez and Johnny Juzang on one side. You've got Benedict Mathurin on the other side for Arizona. It would be great, New York, if we could have some props. But this game itself, Kevin, is so enticing to me, and I cannot wait. Will I stay up until 11 p.m. Eastern time to watch all of this? Maybe not all of it, but I'll watch a little bit of this game in the Pac-12 tonight, because there are no Pac-12 title odds up right now, but these two teams are the two best odds to win that conference. Arizona, even money, plus 100 earlier this week. UCLA, the second best price, at plus 165. Now, the line has moved from where I saw it last night. Kevin mentioned the 3.5-point spread currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The over-under has dropped from 152 in a hook last night to 151.5 this morning. Currently, 150 for a total on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That 150 is the second highest total for UCLA all year long. Only their game against Gonzaga, which was also the only other time the Bruins were booked as an underdog this year, had a total higher at 156, and it went under. Arizona, meanwhile, in their most recent game against Cal on Sunday, had a total of 141. They went over that number. Nine before that, nine prior to the 141 against California, Arizona had a total booked in the 150. So very comfortable range for the Wildcats under first-year head coach Tommy Lloyd. I look at the number, and you mentioned it, Kevin. It's an Arizona number. Laying 3.5 on the road against UCLA. Now, UCLA has won 3 straight, but they've only covered once in their last 5 games against Colorado on Saturday. Arizona, meanwhile, has won 5 straight games. They've covered in 2 straight. They're a perfect 6-0 straight up in Pac-12 play. They've been a double-digit favorite in every conference game this year. They've covered in 4 of those 6. I actually still think you're getting a small number on the Arizona Wildcats, who in my mind, Kevin, as we highlight Auburn for being a team we maybe didn't expect to be here at this point of the year, number 1 in the country, Arizona at number 3 is right there as well. I think Arizona is a team very capable of making a deep run in March into early April, a Final Four-esque team. I think 3.5 points tonight, not a bad number on the Wildcats in this game against UCLA. Might be a lean that I have for later on. As we go from the Pac-12, Kevin, to the Big Ten, a top 25 matchup in Champaign tonight, number 10, Michigan State, and number 24, Illinois. Again, as of last check, last night, the Illini, a 5.5-point home favorite, the over-under 144. Let me see here if that number still stands. Still 5.5 points in favor of Illinois. The over-under down by 2 to 142. A huge matchup in the Big Ten, Kevin, for Michigan State, who currently occupies the top seed in the Big Ten Conference. Illinois, just 1 spot behind them.
So, Michigan State. And can anyone explain how in the world did they lose to Northwestern and then go on the road and beat Wisconsin by 12? Like, that doesn't even, this is your forte, Big Ten. I don't even, like, none of that makes any sense to me, right? This team's been delightful on the road all year long, 4-0 against the number on the road this season. Illinois has been very strong at home, but we've now seen Illinois lose 2 games in a row. But the Purdue, nothing to be upset about, doubled overtime. But at Maryland, it was ugly. Okay, reached out to our good friend, the Sus Dog there, knows the Terps well. Listen, once Coburn was out, I actually thought we could win the game, and he's been pretty reasonable about his team this year. Is Kofi playing? I mean, that's really what this comes down to, doesn't it? You have to like 100%. Kofi back on the lineup Illinois team. For me, though, again, listen, when you can line up on a total, you can line up on an over, it gets exciting. Michigan State, 3-1 to the over in those four road games that we had mentioned in 7 of the last 9. Illinois, 7 of 10 at home this season, have played towards the over. The one thing that does give me some hesitation is I lined up some of these trends in that Illinois-Michigan game, and I even watched the second half. It was such an under. So trends are great, but sometimes they can kind of fall out of the bottom. My initial thought is we should get points, but more than anything, this is one of those classic games, Ben. I can't be early betting unless I got an inside tip on whether Kofi's playing or not.
100%. And you would think, Kevin, that a 5.5-point spread for the Illini, even at home against the 10th-ranked team in the country, means that Kofi Coburn will be out there. Because without Kofi this year, Illinois is just 2-2 straight up. With Kofi, prior to this two-game losing skid, Illinois had won 6 straight. They have covered in 5 of their first 6 games in the Big Ten Conference before losing these most recent 2 games. Now, Michigan State, Kevin mentioned the loss to Northwestern, but outside of that, the Spartans have won 10 of their last 11 games. The most impressive of those, Friday night in the Kohl Center against the Wisconsin Badgers, winning outright as a 3-point underdog. In fact, Michigan State has been a dog in 4 games this year, 2-2 against the number, all 4 against very good teams, winning outright in both of their covers. And again, it's interesting from a Big Ten title perspective as well. Michigan State currently the number one team in the Big Ten, 6-1 straight up in conference play. Illinois held that distinction until last week, the last remaining unbeaten team in the Big Ten Conference, now 6-2. But Illinois is still the favorites to win the Big Ten at plus 250. The Purdue Boilermakers still alive, plus 310. And then Michigan State tied with Wisconsin for the third best odds at plus 400. Here's what I will say about Michigan State. As we mentioned, Kev, their best win was on Friday night against Wisconsin in Big Ten play. Their other 5 wins are against the bottom 5 teams in the Big Ten conference standings as of right now. Maybe that's why they are not booked as a favorite right now to win the Big Ten conference. That seems very up in the air. Any final thoughts on the Purdue Boilermakers at plus 310, Kev?
Yeah, it'll be really fun when they get eliminated from the tournament. What do you think, second round? You think they'll make it to the second round this go around? Yeah. Remember last year they lost to North Texas in overtime?
Kevin, it's going to be a team out of the Atlantic 10. Whether it's St. Bonaventure or Richmond, they're going to be a 9 seed against a Purdue 1 seed, and it's going to be terrible for a man known as Big Ten Ben. We go to the NFL futures, or at least we play odds maker, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We can promise you 3 things here on the morning after at all times on the Spiz Grizz, otherwise known as the Sports Grid Network. We are going to make you a more informed and better sports bettor. That's 2 things in 1. The 3rd thing is we are going to have some fun along the way. That is what Kevin Walsh and myself, Ben Stevens, are going to do right now by evaluating the future in the NFL for some of the quarterbacks we have known for a very, very long time. There might be some markets that open up after the conclusion of this NFL season that predict where Aaron Rodgers might go next, where Tom Brady might be playing, or if not playing at all next year, and who might be the future of the franchise for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But before those markets become available, Kevin Walsh and I will predict the numbers and give you our thoughts on the situation of the future for the quarterbacking position in the NFL. And let's begin, Kevin, with number 12 in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. I have set these odds. You are going to see them here right now. I think his next destination, the next most likely thing that Aaron Rodgers does, looks as such. Green Bay Still the odds on minus money favorite at minus 250. Another NFL team that Aaron will play for next year, plus 145. Retirement for Aaron Rodgers, plus 225. Kevin, I texted you yesterday. I said, I'm going to set these odds. Feel free to roast me and make fun of me as much as you want. How do you feel about those numbers?
Great Green Bay number. Great Green Bay number. Need to get people to not bet Green Bay just in case. Okay? As far as the retirement option, or even just the other, to me the intrigue is, and I like how you did this, because it kind of simplifies it and puts it in the box, and then we can kind of go where we would like. But what's fascinating to me, and the reason why the Green Bay number needs to be as strong as you've made it, what is the list? Where really might he go? I think I have some answers for us, Ben. But that's what also makes this retirement thing very odd. I've had this conversation with a couple of people who are obviously having it right now. I don't buy the retirement thing at all. However, if you took other NFL team, right, Ben, and started to break it down into 5, 6, 10, however many teams you'd like, you'd probably land retirement inside your top 3, certainly your top 4, based on those numbers. That's interesting to me. That's interesting because I can't get there. I can't get there on a guy going MVP, MVP, Super Bowl appearances in neither of the seasons and walking away from the NFL. So I'll throw it back to you and I'll start there. Do you really buy retirement at all for this guy?
I hear your point, right? Number one overall seed in the NFC 2 straight years. Most likely his second straight MVP coming up. Aaron Rodgers mentally right now and how he views things, I think personally, is slightly a wild card. And Aaron Rodgers has said himself that he does not want to be a part of a rebuild for the Green Bay Packers. And based on salary cap ideas in the NFL, although at times maybe slightly indulged, there might be some moving pieces in this offseason for the Packers. One thing Aaron Rodgers did say, though, because there was some consternation last offseason between Aaron and the Green Bay Packers front office, mainly general manager Brian Gutekunst, Aaron Rodgers said that he and Goody, as he is known, have become pretty good friends throughout this season, and he has appreciated what Brian Gutekunst has done to solidify this roster, mainly listen to everything that Aaron has had to say. But that being said, if there comes a point this offseason where Aaron Rodgers thinks that he feels a certain way and knows better than others, yeah, I do think retirement is slightly in the cards. That's why it's the longest odds right now and probably should be longer than plus 225, but I'm not an odds maker by trade, so you just put some plus money prices out there.
No, listen, I think overall it worked, though. As far as the Gutekunst thing, though, we've learned from Rodgers, don't believe him. How did he phrase it? He likes him. What does that actually mean? He just doesn't despise his guts anymore? Like, we don't really know what Rodgers means. You have to sift through all the coded language from Big Aaron, who never gets heard but is always being talked to. Nevertheless, I want to see, though, Ben, if I can sway you to my side. Maybe you are already there, but perhaps some of those folks out there watching and listening are not. I believe that Rodgers should leave Green Bay. A lot of people disagree. He's in the best situation right now. Whatever reason, it's not working, but eventually it will. And even if it doesn't eventually, you're not going to a better situation. There aren't better situations out there. I disagree. Let's remove the fact that there is some wall that exists right now with him in Green Bay that has now kept a quarterback who over the last decade plus has always been one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the sport, has never returned to the Super Bowl after winning the Super Bowl. It is still impossible to even understand that. By the way, when this weekend comes to a close, Garoppolo will either double the Super Bowl appearances of Aaron Rodgers or Stafford will spend one season in competency and match Rodgers' number of Super Bowl appearances. That's how that's going to spin out here. Now, here are a couple of teams. I'm going to break them off into tiers for you, Ben. I'll see if you bite anywhere. The Green Bay Packers finished 24th in defensive efficiency. Not good. I'm not saying that they lost this year because of their defense, but it's not good. And as far as Matt LaFleur being an attractive head coach that should keep him around, he coached one game without Aaron Rodgers, and I could left them on an Arrowhead and they still wouldn't have scored 21 points. It was all that pathetic. Let me give you 3 options here, okay? The Denver Broncos, the Vegas Raiders, the Miami Dolphins. all teams that I could very well see wanting an upgrade at the quarterback position. Denver's obvious. Miami and Tua might not be for long, and we've heard car rumors in Vegas. What do all these teams have in common? Well, all of their defenses ranked top 20 in the NFL. Green Bay cannot say that. Miami actually ranked 10th. All of them have head coaching availability. For Rodgers, if you really believe in Hackett, or maybe anybody out there, pick your coach. Whoever you want, that's who we hire. We promise. Now, you want to talk about full autonomy, full control, like Rodgers wants? How about picking the head coach? And I'll give one little boost, by the way. Green Bay, second fewest salary cap. All of these teams out here, significantly more money. I have other teams, Ben. Thoughts on those three, though, that have head coach openings and Aaron Rodgers potentially being better off in those positions?
Better off is an interesting debate because I still do believe that the Green Bay Packers, where Aaron Rodgers stands, is the best situation for him. And that might be a tried argument at this point. But again, Aaron's going to win his second straight MVP. He was minus 500 in the final odds that we saw at the end of the regular season. They have been the number one overall seed in the NFC. The Packers have not made a Super Bowl appearance in their last 9 postseason trips. Whatever reason that might be, not entirely sure, but Aaron Rodgers has been a part of it. So going to Denver, yes, a young wide receivers core, a great defense on the other side, you would think, but a lot of that, I think, tied in to Vic Fangio and that personality. Las Vegas is interesting, as is Miami, but Kev, do you think Aaron Rodgers, if he says he doesn't want to be a rebuild or a part of a rebuild in Green Bay, is enticed by the fact he can pick a head coach? Because I still think, although that is an attractive offer, comes with a lot of uncertainty for a guy that probably doesn't have all that many more seasons left in the NFL.
Some things just work perfectly. So you know what, Ben? Toss those three teams away. Too much uncertainty around the head coach situation. I'll give you three more. Pittsburgh Steelers, 14th defense in the NFL. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Najee Harris. Mike, I've never had a losing season. Tomlin or Matt LaFleur, not in the same planet. How about the Cleveland Browns, the 11th defense in the NFL, maybe the best offensive line in the entire sport, the ability to bring Davante Adams wherever you would like, and the reigning coach of the year in Kevin Stefanski. And one more for you. And by the way, there's one final after this, but they're a completely separate conversation. They're completely separate. The Indianapolis Colts, 8th best defense in the NFL, maybe the second best offensive line in the entire sport. Jonathan Taylor, again, Devontae, you want to come over? There's 7 billion targets. And Frank Reich and Matt LaFleur. I don't think anybody's taking Matt LaFleur. I don't even know if Mike LaFleur in New York is picking LaFleur if you give him a couple of cocktails there. Three coaches, three situations, all better defenses, comparable enough weapons, and all more established head coaches. Ben, thoughts?
I mean, the Steelers have been one that has been tied to Aaron in the entire speculation from last offseason until now, knowing that Big Ben, most likely, although not officially confirmed yet, is retiring at the end of this season. The Steelers season, obviously, has already come to a close. The one that caused me to go like, whew, that would be something, was Indianapolis, because that could be a situation. Because if you look at what the Colts did this year and you want to make an argument for Carson Wentz, miss me with that stuff, because they needed to win 2 football games as over a touchdown favorite to end out the regular season to get to the playoffs, and they could not get it done. So to have all of those weapons in place that are already there in Indianapolis, whether Devontae comes along for the ride or not, that's one that I'm like, ooh. Now, that could be something. That one certainly percolates, Kevin, on top of the mind. Yeah.
Now, let me give you one final one. The Trump card. Please. Nobody can argue that this isn't a better situation. Best defense we've mentioned yet. 7th in the NFL this year. Maybe the best play caller in the entire NFL. Home. Debo. Kittle. Offensive line galore. And if you can't beat them, you join them. The San Francisco 49ers. Because maybe the AFC's just a little too loaded. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Herbert, I got you. We need to stay in the NFC. So we go home and we go to San Francisco. And let me tell you this right now. If you think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do anything to stop Aaron Rodgers from being a better option for the Niners, you've never watched Jimmy Garoppolo play football. And if John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are out of their mind, then they'll say, yeah, Trey Lance is a better option than Aaron Rodgers. But that is, of course, crazy. Go let Trey Lance and Jordan Love have the most hilarious quarterback battle the sport will ever see. Bring Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco and immediately become the favorites in the conference, maybe the entire NFL. An unquestionable better situation than Green Bay. Quite frankly, Ben, not close.
Not close. If we're being honest, not close. If Aaron Rodgers were to go to the San Francisco 49ers, they would not be a 3.5-point underdog in this spot this week ahead of their matchup against the Los Angeles Rams in the NFC Championship game. They might be a 5.5-point favorite against the LA Rams. It is not close. How feasible is it? That is the next conversation. Kevin, quickly here. We added some other graphics, but we're not going to have time to discuss those quarterbacks. Yeah, here's one I ask you. I said that going to another NFL team for Aaron Rodgers' odds was plus 145. Who do you think, out of the seven teams you listed, is the favorite to get Aaron Rodgers?
Denver. Too much smoke equals fire. Last year, Hackett made the final three in terms of the coaches that they're looking at there, which is kind of just lines up. If Rodgers is going to leave, sticks with the guy he knows in Green Bay. Denver's the favorite. Wouldn't be my favorite. Listen, someone put a phone call in to Pat to tell Aaron to call me, and I will get him a Super Bowl. Little fee, cut me on the side, and we'll be good to go. I got the list for you. Don't you worry.
Hammered on and get Aaron Rodgers to wherever he wants to go. We round out hour number two, our 2 hours with Kevin Walsh, asking about a quarterback in Philadelphia. That's next here on The Morning After.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Only three more football games the rest of this entire NFL season. Two on Conference Championship Sunday, and then, of course, it concludes with the Super Bowl. That means our attention soon will focus on the future of quarterbacks in the NFL. We just talked about that a little bit here on The Morning After. It's Ben Stevens and Kevin Walsh here with you for the first 2 hours of TMA on this Tuesday. We finish Kevin's 2 hours with us on this program by asking about one more quarterback and his future in Philly. We do that now in Buy or Sell. As you can see by the Eagles helmet over Kevin Walsh's right shoulder, Kevin Walsh is a fan of the Birds, the Philadelphia Eagles, who with their second-year quarterback in Jalen Hurts made the postseason as the number 7 seed in the NFC. But still, Kevin, I believe questions will be had by many around that organization for the Eagles on if Jalen Hurts is the future. So, Kevin, are you buying or selling that Jalen Hurts is that franchise quarterback in Philadelphia?
It's a buy. I didn't put everything I own into it. It's a buy. Here's the interesting thing. Here is something for everyone just to let marinate. If Brady retires and Rodgers and Russell Wilson make their way to the AFC, the Eagles have a top five quarterback in the conference. Think about that, because it's true. Now, you might go through it in your head and be like, oh, that's not impressive. The NFC is bad. I don't care. It's true. If you have a top five quarterback in the conference, it means you can be dangerous. And the Eagles would all of a sudden have a top five quarterback within the NFC. Here's the thing, though, about the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think a lot of teams this offseason. If a clear and obvious upgrade becomes available, they will take a very, very legitimate look at that. Very legitimate.
I like the prognostication out of Kevin Walsh today. Kevin Walsh, one of the co-hosts of The Early Line, each and every weekday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern time, right here on the Spiz Grizz. Old K-Dubs, as always, thank you kindly. More of The Morning After up for hour number three next.